Scary to fall into the hands of the living God, isn't it? You don't know what he might do with your life. He'll bless it, but he'll have to wring it out first. Because listen, the longer you go without Jesus, the more junk you got in your life he's got to squeeze out of you.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is When Jesus Goes With Us, and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
When Jesus goes with us, key verse is Luke 24:15. We are reading out of the ESV. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, O Lord, and we pray that you will open our hearts to receive. We thank you, God, for the word that we are about to get from you. I pray, God, that you will anoint me to speak your words and not my own, and that you will fill this house with your presence, God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Woo! You feel God? Because I feel God. God is doing a wonderful thing in your life today. The fact that you made it to church tells me that God is working in your life. You may not feel that way. You may not think that way. But you want to know something? God is God. And he knows something that you don't know. He knows where you're going before you get there. And when Jesus goes with us, we're blessed. Amen? Okay, listen to this. When Jesus goes with us, it's a life-changing experience and one that empowers the Christian to do God's work in this world. Now, if you set out in this world to do anything for God and you don't have Jesus with you, you will fail. Peter was trying to tell Jesus that he wasn't going to die. And he got rebuked for that because he had worldly things in mind. He wanted to keep Jesus all for himself. Too many Christians today want to keep Jesus all to themselves. They come to church, they read their Bibles, and they pray, but they don't go out into the world and tell anybody about him. So Jesus isn't going with them when they leave the church. Amen? But if you leave the church today and Jesus goes with you, you will be empowered to do God's work in this world. It's not about sitting in the pews and asking God about the blessings you get here today in this church. It's about saying, Lord, I want to take it further. I want to go out there and I want to serve you. And he will say, my son must be with you. My son must come with you. Because if you don't have Jesus and you leave this church today, you're going to be in the same situation you were before you ever got yourself into this church. Alone, struggling, working out of the flesh. But when Jesus goes with us, we are empowered to do God's work, but there's more to it than that. When Jesus goes with us, there is a new level of fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. Don't you understand that you cannot have fellowship with other Christians who do not have Jesus going with them? Who do not have Jesus going with them? You have discernment as a Christian. You meet up with somebody and you can tell right away if Christ is with them. Amen. And when Christ is with that person that you meet up with, it's a whole new level of fellowship. But it's even better than that, because Christians are never alone, even when they're physically by themselves. Amen. Amen. Because we have Jesus going with us. People say, why do you spend so much time alone, Pastor? Well, I don't. I'm spending it with my Jesus. It's fellowship. See, before I came to Christ, I didn't like to be alone. Because I didn't like myself, amen? A lot of us don't like to be by ourselves because we don't like the company we're keeping when we're with ourselves, amen? But when you got Jesus, you got a whole new level of fellowship. You're not alone. You got someone to talk to, amen? So listen to this. Matthew 18:20 says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. Praise God. Listen to this. When we get together and we're praying in the name of Jesus and we're in agreement, guess what? We got the power of Jesus. the power of Jesus, we're not alone. We got a whole new level of fellowship, right? You ever pray with somebody who's not a believer? You don't know who they're praying to. It could be Buddha. It could be Allah. But it's not your Jesus, and you don't feel that fellowship, do you? But when you get two Christians in the room and you start praying, you know something's happening because somebody just showed up. Amen? Somebody just appeared. Amen? All right, listen to this. When Christ goes with us, anxiety leaves us. Ever seen nervous people? They're always nervous, always anxious. They're impatient. They don't know what to do with themselves. You don't know what to do with them. Amen? But listen to this. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Listen, when Jesus comes in, the anxiety leaves. The anxiety leaves. A lot of people want to go to psychiatrists today. They want to go to the doctor and take a pill. I'm depressed. I don't know what to do. I'm so anxious. I'm so nervous. I get upset. Here, take a pill. Take a pill. Take another pill. Well, I took your pills, and now I feel worse than I did before I took your pills because now I got something else happening. No, listen. The only thing you need to take is the advice from the Bible, and that is to live Christ-like. That is to absorb Jesus, and that means that Jesus has to go with us. Amen? When Jesus goes with you to the doctor, suddenly you're preaching to the doctor. Amen? Suddenly you're giving the doctor a prescription. Amen? Somebody follow what I'm saying? Okay, listen to this. Church is one place where Jesus goes with us. Say it. Church is one place where Jesus goes with us. People come to me all the time. I feel lost. I don't know what to do. Well, you're in church. Keep coming to church. But then they fail. They don't come one Sunday. Then the next Sunday, they don't come again. Before you know it, Jesus is no longer going with them because they're not obeying the principle of coming to church. Then some people tell me, well, I'm just going to church because I think that God wants me at multiple places. Wrong answer. God wants you to have a home church. God wants you to have a place where you hang your hat. Listen, that's called dedication. How many of you are dedicated today? How many of you are dedicated today? Are you wishy-washy? Are you moving from church to church? Are you going round and round trying to find out what's best for you? Or are you going to the church where God can use you, where God has planted you, where God said, this is where I want you to be. Now stay loyal. But we don't know what loyalty is anymore, do we? That's why fellowship is so hard to find. But listen, church is one place where Jesus goes with us. We should take coming to church very seriously. God does. God does. Listen, people tell me I don't have to go to church, Pastor. You know why? Because I watch TV and I listen to the radio and I pray at home. Ridiculous, selfish attitude. Why is that selfish? Because you don't go to church to be blessed. You go to church to be a blessing. Praise God. How many people are looking at the empty pew and you're not there? And oh man, if only they were there. If only they were here today, I would feel so blessed if I could look out there and see the people who are not coming to church. Amen. You could be here praying for somebody instead of home praying by yourself. Okay, so God takes coming to church very seriously. So the next time the devil tells you stay home, understand he's got something up his sleeve and it's no good. It's no good. He wants to keep you away from fellowshipping with your believers. Okay, so Hebrews 10, 24, 25 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Let's consider this for a moment. Let's consider this for a moment. Okay? What does he go on to say? Not neglecting. Man, I hate that word neglect. I hate to be neglected. Not neglecting to meet together. As is the habit of some. That's a bad habit to stop coming to church. It's a bad habit, isn't it? Okay, listen to this. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What's the day? Anybody know what the day is? The day that Christ comes back. It's coming near. But listen, if we're not meeting together, encouraging one another, stirring one another up in love, we're losing people. We're losing people for the kingdom. See, we're supposed to be coming here like soldiers of Christ to get the information that we need, that God wants to plant in our hearts so that we can go out and soldier for him. Amen? Coming to church for yourself is a selfish notion. Coming to church with a servitude mindset, that's what God wants. I want you to arm me, God. I want you to fill me with your Holy Spirit so I can make it through another week. But not just for myself, God, so that I can go forth. And you come with me, God. You come with me. Fill me up. Come with me out there. And let's get more people. 80% of people surveyed coming to church today in today's world admit that they're coming because somebody invited them. Ask yourself, how many people did you invite last week to come to church? Ask yourself that. Because 80% of people who come to church are invited to church. You had to be invited, amen? Most likely, right? Somebody had to call you. So we don't want to give up the habit of coming to church. But Satan wants you to give it up. Satan wants you to quit your church. Satan wants you to look around in the pew and find something wrong with your pastor. Find something wrong with his leaders. Find something wrong anywhere in the church so you can use an excuse to get up and leave. Well, listen, I'm not perfect. So if you're looking at me, you're going to find problems. My leaders aren't perfect. If you're looking at them, you're going to find problems. But I'm telling you what, you come to church to look at Jesus. You come to church to be with Jesus, and you come to church to go with Jesus. Not Pastor James, okay? And not my leaders, amen? You come here to meet with Jesus and to leave with Jesus. My job here is to introduce you to Christ, is to reveal his word to you. That's my job, not to be perfect. Okay? I can't be perfect. I'm sorry. That's why God sent Jesus. Amen? There is strength in numbers. Satan knows this and wants to separate Christians from one another. Stay out of church long enough. Things will go okay at first. It'll be all right. Hey, why don't you watch the football game next Sunday? It'll be okay. You'll actually have some fun. In fact, you could take a few of the friends that are in church with you and watch the ball game with them. You guys can skip out a couple times. It'll be okay. That's what Satan will tell you. But then you'll get used to not coming. And before you know it, you'll be ashamed to show your face back at church because you've been gone so long. Amen? Ever feel that way? Stay gone too long, you don't want to go back, right? Shameful, right? Okay, Satan knows this. And once he divides you from your church, that's when he's got you alone. Satan likes you by yourself. Because then you have nobody preaching to you. You have nobody talking to you. You have nobody praying for you. Oh, man. A Christian out there in the world without somebody not praying for them? You are a sitting duck for Satan. He loves it. He loves it. He's got you out of commission. First of all, you're not serving your church anymore. Got him down. Now I got him alone. Now I can destroy him. He doesn't want you around your friends in Christ. Amen? Matthew 18:20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. Listen, you want Jesus with you? You better get around some followers. You better get around some Christians because that's where he's at. You're sitting there by yourself, you're going to get depressed. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to become afraid. You're going to become anxious, right? And that's, oh man, that's not a spirit of prayer, is it? Then you're coming in your faith. Your faith is being attacked because Satan is like, there's no God. And if there is, he doesn't love you. And even if he does love you, he's not listening to you. Those are lies that Satan tells us. And he gets away with it when we're separated. But then another believer knocks on the door and he says, hey, why don't you come to church with me? Let me pray for you, brother. Let me pray for you, sister. And boom, there comes Jesus in the midst of you. And he lifts you back up and he calls you back in the church. But you got to answer the call. That's how you get Jesus to go with you. When we worship, God himself will come and fill you with his holy presence. When you start worshiping, God takes notice. And he wants to be where the worshipers are. Amen. Listen to this. Psalm 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Now listen, fear is another word for respect in the Bible. Acknowledging that God is in control. When you start to acknowledge that God is in control, you start praising God for all that he is, not for all that you are. You start to forget about yourself when you start praising God, right? Okay. And then God encamps around those who fear him. God is there among you. Okay? Now listen. Then he delivers them. He delivers them. That's the thing about God. When he goes with you, he takes you through. He delivers you. Some people today still aren't getting this. But I am a Christian, Pastor. Shouldn't everything be so good for me? I mean, I'm a Christian. I go to church. No, listen, you've got to have Jesus with you wherever you go. That means when you leave here, you don't have a potty mouth. When you leave here, you're just as nice to the people as you were inside of church. I'm not saying we don't have our bad days, okay? I'm not saying, but that's not an excuse. Second, when Jesus goes with us, there is an abiding peace within. John 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." What is Christ saying in this? Christ is saying that you can be in the storm, but the storm doesn't have to be in you. Why are you fretting? Why are you so worried? You got Jesus. See, you could have stuff going all around you when you're a Christian, but you got the peace that surpasses all understanding, because the Christian has something that the worldly people don't have. They have the peace of Christ. And that's why he says, "I'm not giving you the peace of the world." That means your troubles aren't going to just vanish because you became a Christian today. That's not how it works. How it works is that you get the peace of Jesus, and that gives you the strength to carry on where other people will just fall to their knees. Well, listen, when a Christian falls to his knees, he's empowered. When a Christian's on his knees, he's got strength. Because when a Christian falls to his knees, he is praising and crying out to his daddy in heaven. Amen? And his daddy hears his babies. And God will send his angels to minister to you. The world is filled with chaos, but Christ will give you a peace that surpasses the storms of life. Now listen, I'm not telling you guys that you won't have any problems because you come to Jesus. Some of you got problems right now. Mark 4:39 says, "And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Now listen, sure, the sea calmed down, right? But the people in the boat weren't nervous anymore either, were they? I bet you they calmed down too. Wow, glad that's over. But see, sometimes God doesn't get up and do that, but he's capable of doing that. So understand that the peace that God gives you is not always over the storm, but the storm that rages inside. If God can give you peace in the storm, you can function better as a Christian. Amen? Knowing he's in control and not you. The peace of Christ can calm any storm, whether it's outside of you or within you. Now, how many of you guys are going through something right now and you know you're not getting out of it tomorrow, but you need peace? You need peace. Tell you what, stay with God. Stay with God and know that he's in control. Know that he's using that storm to teach you something. See, we don't always learn in the good times of life, do we? We'd like to, but we don't. Because when the good times are rolling, so are we. Right? We're having too much fun to notice God. So sometimes God sends a little storm in our way and says, "Okay, time out. It's lesson time." Ever go to school and they give you a pop quiz that you weren't ready for? It's scary, isn't it? I wasn't ready for this. That's how God brings storms into our lives, right? Pop quiz time. Now it's time to take all that stuff you learned in the Bible, all that stuff you've been bragging about to other Christians, and put it to the test, right? Amen. But you have that peace knowing that he's in charge. Matthew 26:40 says, "And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, 'So could you not watch with me one more hour?'" Okay? Listen to this. People often abandon us in our hour of need, but Christ will never leave us. He will always be there to calm our souls. Let's go back to that scripture and read it one more time. Matthew 26:40. "And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, 'So, could you not watch with me one more hour?'" Man, that reminds me of some of my friends. They give you advice, don't they? They tell you how to do your life, don't they? But then when you take their advice and everything falls apart, you call them up and you can't even get them on the phone. Or they say, "Don't blame me. If I told you to jump off a bridge, would you do it?" Anybody ever hear that one? I've heard it. Where are your friends when trouble happens? Peter was sleeping. Christ was about to be handed over to the Romans, to the Jewish people, and crucified. And Peter is taking a nap. Does it ever feel like God sometimes taking a nap in your storm? Does it ever feel like that? And God's just sleeping on you. And you're like, "Wake up, God, wake up." Listen, God ain't left you. When you feel that way, you need to ask God if you left him. Are you the one sleeping? Does he need to wake you up before you realize, wait a minute, he's not sleeping. It's been me. That's what storms do. They rock you awake. Whoa, wait a minute. I think I was sleeping. Where's God? He's been out busy doing stuff for the kingdom while you've been asleep. Amen? So yes, your friends will desert you, but God won't. When Jesus is with you, it doesn't matter how many friends you have. You got the friend that you need. Amen? Because I promise you, live long enough and you will see friends come and go. You will even see family come and go. Family will turn against you. Friends, coworkers, people that you thought you could trust on. Mm-mm. They'll leave you. But not this guy. Not Jesus. He will pray with you in your hour of need. He will stand with you in your hour of need. He will love you when no one else loves you. He will care for you when everyone else has stopped caring. He will be there when everybody else is gone. Amen? People often abandon us in our hour of need, but Christ will never leave us. He will always be there to calm our souls. And then we got Matthew 11:28-30. Chapter 11, verses 28 and 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, some of you are trying to carry your own cross. Yes, Christ said, pick up your cross daily. But he also said, follow me. When you got your cross in your hand and you're following him, guess what? He's right before you holding the other end. Even Jesus needed help carrying the cross, didn't he? And God sent somebody for him, didn't he? If your cross is becoming too heavy in life, go with Jesus. Because he will carry your cross with you. You'll bear some of the weight. But listen, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You don't have to play pony tricks with God to get his approval anymore. Jesus died for you. And if you believe that Jesus died for your sins, then the yoke is lifted off of you. Now you're free. Now you know you've made mistakes, but you are free from those mistakes. Now you know you're a sinner, but you are delivered by the blood of Christ. Now you know that you have failed, but Christ has the victory, and through him you had the victory as well. Take on his yoke. It's easy. Just believe. Just believe. There's nothing easier than that. A child can understand that. And his burden is light. It's belief. It's just believing. You don't have to play religious tricks anymore. You don't have to be religious anymore. You don't have to condemn yourself anymore. The burden is light. It is lifted off of you. Jesus is saying, come to me, all who are labored and heavy laden. He's talking about the religious people. He's talking about the people who are strapped down with sin. They're not coming to him because they think they can carry it on their own. But he's saying, lay it on me. Lay your sin on me. You don't have to work for salvation. I've done it all. Come to me. When Jesus goes with us, there is an obligation to tell others. I know we don't have any stingy people in here. But you wouldn't know that when the gospel comes out. Because a lot of people are stingy with Jesus. They don't want to tell people about him. They don't. But listen, Mark 16:15 says, and he said to them, go into all the world. Oh, is that some of the world? Parts of the world. I can't even hear you guys. All. All of the world? Man, that's a big place. How am I going to get there? Oh, I know what I could do. I could train up some disciples and they can go for me. Wow, we need more disciples, don't we? Hey, church is really a good idea. Wow, we're getting back to the first point about coming to church, fellowshipping, learning, and going out. Wow. No wonder we go to church. You guys are really teaching me something here today. Okay, so let me reread that so I can get it right. And he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Wow, that's what we're supposed to do. Is he asking that? What's he doing? He's telling us, isn't he? It's not a request. God does not suggest that we tell others. He commands it. When you do not tell people about Jesus, you are in disobedience to the gospel. People will call me up and say, I got a new car, and it's got all these cool gadgets on it. But they're not enthused about Jesus. People should be calling you up and saying, I got Jesus. I got eternal life. But they don't, because they don't believe. They have an emotional response for a short time, but then they fall away because they truly don't believe that what they got is real. But God, He commands us as believers, tell other people about this great thing that my Son has done for you. You may not know if that person's going to be alive tomorrow. If we truly believe, then we will tell others about Jesus, and His light will be our light. Understand that? See, some of you say, well, I can't tell Jesus to people because I don't have what it takes. Well, listen, none of us has what it takes. But when you start talking about Jesus, guess what happens? His light becomes your light. What's the old saying? Proclaim the gospel and sometimes use words. See, if your life is reflecting Jesus, people are automatically going to be drawn to you. If we truly believe, we're going to be proclaiming it, right? Now listen, Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. Who? You guys. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Can you hide Springfield? We're not even on a hill. You can't hide us, can you? Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Do you guys turn on the light in your room and cover it up? Why do you do that with the gospel? Why do you hide it? Don't hide it, okay? But on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Good works. My goodness, good works. I got to do good works. Listen, I don't do good works to be saved. I do good works because I am saved. And so people will look at me and say, wow, this guy's doing some good works. Why is that? Because he's saved. Glory to the Father in heaven. I want to know what this guy's got, that he's working so hard for an unseen God. Well, I see my Jesus. I see it in the faces of the people that come here. Amen. I see my Jesus. I see him in the people that come here to church. Amen. I see it in their good works. That's where you get your tangibility at. Well, I got to see to believe. Well, look at our good works. We're working night and day for a God we cannot see. Amen. We're working night and day for small reward. Amen. Well, that's against all principles of humanity. Everybody works for themselves. Everybody works for gain. But when you work for Jesus, you work for him and you work to serve him, to please him, because you love him, because you are grateful. We must not be afraid, for he is with us. We can't be afraid. That's not an option. Matthew 28:20, and behold, I am with you always. A little while, once in a while, only when the going's good. No, when it gets bad, I'm going, I'm leaving. Bye. No, man, I'm not reading very good today. Okay, let me read it again. Matthew 28:20, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is the age of grace. It's coming to an end one day, but he will be with you until that end. And he's going to be with you when you proclaim the gospel. If you ask anything in my name, my Father will give it to you. My Father will do it. My Father will be with you. Amen. If you proclaim the gospel and you're praying in your spirit, help me, Jesus will come up and he will help you. Will everybody listen? No, but you will be empowered. You'll be empowered because he's not going to leave you. I am with you always. What a beautiful thing. I'm always with you. I got a friend. We must not be ashamed. Stop holding your head down coming out of church. Stop running to your car so nobody sees you coming to church. Amen. Stop hiding your Bibles at work. Don't be ashamed. Luke 9:26, for whoever is ashamed of me, in my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Husbands, wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, take your companion and tell them, well, listen, I can't introduce you to any of my friends because I'm ashamed of you. Try that. Don't. Don't take that advice, especially you guys. If you're in a relationship with somebody and they disrespect you by not introducing you to their circle of friends, you're going to walk away, aren't you? Wouldn't you? You go to a party and the person that you're with steps away from you and says, I don't know this person. And they don't even mention you. And you're their significant other. That's humiliating. That's disrespect. They're ashamed of you. They should lift you up like a beacon and say, look who I love. Look who I care for. Look who I'm with. Look who's with me. I'm not ashamed. Because if you don't lift Christ up, he doesn't have to lift you up. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? You're ashamed of him, he's going to be ashamed of you. And we must not be discouraged. Discouragement is the devil's tool. He's a liar. Why would you believe anything he's got to say? Man, when you hear that voice, it's not of God. When's the last time you heard God calling people names, putting people down? You know what God says about you? You're the apple of his eye. He says, I'll never leave nor forsake you. He didn't say you wouldn't leave him. He said, I will never leave nor forsake you. See, he's the one that does it all. He's the one that's hanging on to you. Amen. And because he's hanging on to you, because he loves you, because you're the apple of his eye, that is your peace. That is your strength. That is your encouragement. We must not be discouraged. This world will get you down. This world will make you want to quit. But listen to this. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So there's a condition there, right? Due season. Due season. There's a season for everything. But Pastor, I want it now. See, Pastor, I've been going to church for 1, 2, 3 Sundays, and I haven't got my blessing yet. I want to be elevated up to, well, I want to be pastor one day, like yesterday. Well, there's a due season for everything. There's a learning season too, isn't there? We have to learn some things. We have to go through some things. We have to endure some things. Satan wants you to give up. You need to quit. Church ain't getting you nowhere. Church is going nowhere. Your life is going. You're going to be like this for the rest of your life. It's never going to get any better. See how slow things are going for you? Church is just weighing you down. You could be doing something much better on church day. You could be doing something much better than reading your Bible. Ever pick up your Bible? You're anxious to pick it up. You want to pick it up. You pick it up. You open it up. And then distractions happen in your head. The phone starts to ring. People start messing with you. You ever do that? You want to read the Bible and all this crazy stuff goes through your head. It's true. That's the devil trying to discourage you. We must not be discouraged. We're going to reap if we do not give up. We're going to reap. Christ is coming back, and he's got rewards for those who did not give up. If you want Jesus to go with you, you must seek him. It's a two-way relationship. You want my attention? You got to give me some of your attention, right? You can't just keep draining me and taking from me. You got to give something back. I'm a person. Amen. Listen, Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What does that mean, Pastor? It means that you throw your life to the cross. You give everything about you to God. You surrender. No, no, I can't do that. I can hear it right now. The Lord's telling me there's people in here saying, no way. There's no way I'm going to give my life over to God. There's no telling what he might do with it. Scary to fall into the hands of the living God, isn't it? You don't know what he might do with your life. He'll bless it. He'll bless it, but he'll have to wring it out first. Because listen, the longer you go without Jesus, the more junk you got in your life he's got to squeeze out of you. And some of that stuff hurts coming out, don't it? And some of that stuff you don't want to let go of. Seek first the kingdom of God. Fall in love with Jesus. Get him going with you places. Things aren't going to straighten out, but you might. See what I'm saying? Things might not straighten out for you, but you might straighten out. God wants you to get straight before your stuff gets straight. It's just stuff anyways. It's going to come. It's going to go. 20 years from now, you're not even going to remember half the stuff you got right now. But you're going to remember some of the things that you did for God and some of the things you didn't do for God. If you don't straighten out now, you're going to remember a lot of stuff you didn't do for God 20 years from now. Because the condemnation of sin will come into your life and remind you. Amen? You might be saved, but you're alive, right? That means that if you rob a bank, you're going to jail. Even if you're a Christian. God's not going to come to court with you and say, let him go. Doesn't work that way, does it? So if you go out of here today, or any day, and Christ isn't with you, and you fail to walk in the word, and you commit a sin, there's a consequence. Even if you're a Christian, there's a consequence. Because you have not sought first the kingdom of God. But listen, if you do this, right, God will give you a ministry. I don't know what it is. For some of you, I know what it might be, but he'll give you a ministry and he will equip you with everything you need to do that ministry. That's why he says that when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. You're going to get everything that you need according to the glorious riches in Christ Jesus to serve him. But listen, if you're seeking him first, that's all you're going to want from him. You're not going to want this other stuff. He's going to give you what you need to serve him, and you're going to be in love with serving him. Amen? And you're going to get everything you need to serve him. God calls us to him, and if we answer the call, he shall go with us in Christ. 2 Timothy 1, verses 8 and 9. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. God had you picked out before he began any of this. And he called you out. You didn't call him. People say, I found Jesus. Nonsense. You're the one that's lost. He found you. Before the ages, he had a plan for you, a purpose, and he had a grace prepared for you. That purpose can be fulfilled when you go with Jesus. But if you walk out of here today and you don't go with Jesus, then you have no one to blame for life's terrible, terrible downfalls but yourself. But if you go with Jesus, you can leave all the consequences to him. And remember this scripture here today. God has a purpose for you. You're not just living life aimlessly. He's got a mission for you. I have been a teacher. I have been a computer programmer. I have been a business owner. I have been a salesman. I have done almost everything you can think in life. And God had a purpose for me to be a pastor. All of my plans went to nothing because this is what I do now. I fought God. I dreamed other dreams, but God wouldn't leave me alone, and he called me out to do this. Amen? Pastor, why do you have so many skills? Because I ran from God for 37 years. That's why I have so many skills. That's what happens when you run from God. You chase after your dreams, and you get good at other stuff.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.